Good morning, everyone. I want to thank you for all your prayers as our three of our four children and their families were here this last 2 weeks at different times, sometimes all together. They are all back to where they came from. I did look in the freezer the other day and I saw all this ice cream that wasn't touched. And I texted them all. I said, "You didn't touch the ice cream. You got to come back and finish this." So they didn't bite. Literally. Anyway, well, there's a story of a student who was taking an exam, and the teacher noticed that the student seemed to be struggling and squirming because of some of the answers, or some looking for answers. And so the teacher quietly walked over and asked the student, "How close are you to the right answer?" And the boy looked around and he says, "About two seats." In our gospel reading today, Jesus is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well. And the conversation centered around the location of this well. And as they talk, it leads to a deeper discussion about living water. And that leads to the question, how can I get this living water? Little did she know that she was just about two seats away from the answer, maybe even closer. As this discussion unfolds about the culture of the Samaritans and the Jews, comes Jesus' summation of what worship is. And he said, "But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." You see, God's timing is always perfect. And Jesus was always right where he was supposed to be at the right time. So let's look at what is going on here at this well. First is the location, Samaria. The Samaritan people were despised by the Jewish people. They had allowed a mix of traditions into their faith, and to a Jew, a Samaritan was almost like a Gentile. And when traveling north out of Jerusalem, Jewish travelers would bypass Samaria altogether, taking a route that is on the east side around the territory. Yet Samaria is rich in history. Many of the ancient kings of Israel are buried in Samaria. And so is this well that was dug by Jacob, present there. It was dug many, many years earlier. And it's no mistake that Jesus takes his disciples into this now forbidden territory and has this encounter with a woman at Jacob's well. It is no mistake that in the land where Jacob struggled with God, remember that story? He wrestled with God and had his own heart changed, that this woman will also struggle with the truths of God. There's also striking similarities between what we read and heard about Nicodemus last week and the Samaritan woman in this encounter. Remember, Nicodemus was a learned man. He was a man of high social ranking and a member of the Sanhedrin. He went out at night looking for the truth about Jesus, and he wanted to know how he could do all the things that he was doing. Now, here we have a Samaritan woman, probably an outcast by even her own brethren. She's coming to the well at an odd time in the heat of the day. You just didn't do that. And she was alone. That was unusual as well. And here at this well, she meets a distant relative of Jacob, Jesus. And he asks for a drink. It's amazing the doors that can open by a simple request of a drink of water. And every time I read this story, I'm reminded of my own testimony. And I know I've shared this with you at least a couple of times, that how I offered a drink of water to a guy running by my apartment when I was a senior in college. And that encounter led to a person who asked me for, when he asked me for that drink, he resubmitted his life to Christ. He was falling away from the Lord, who then asked me to come to a Bible study that he was having, and then to a lunch on campus. And at that lunch on campus, I met my wife. But that was all from that drink of water and many more encounters that we've had. But this Samaritan woman also has some heart issues going on. She too was lost in her own sin. That's quite all right. He's getting into it. She is, excuse me. If there's anything that Jesus knows besides everything, it is the heart. And he knows the heart of this Samaritan woman. And that is right where he goes with her. He goes after what is troubling her. He goes at what is hindering her. You see, sin is what binds the human heart from truth. Sin is what deceives us into making up our own lies that this is okay, or that is okay. And notice what Jesus does. He takes this woman right into the center of her heart. And out of this dialogue over water comes a spiritual truth. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would be asking him and he would give you living water. And here's where she stands out over Nicodemus. Whatever it is that he has, she wants it. And she wants it now. "Give me this drink so I don't have to come here every day." She isn't making the connection between that which is physical and that which is spiritual. But whatever it is, she wants it. Jesus is offering something far greater than water that sustains the body. He is offering water that will feed the soul for eternity. And then Jesus helps her to make the connection by revealing her current condition. You see, nothing can be hidden from the Spirit of truth. This woman's eyes are being opened to the truth. Salvation is here. And when Jacob had this little wrestling match with God, remember that, when he struggled, he too was on a spiritual journey of his own. He too was seeking truth. Jacob also prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. And here is this woman wrestling with her own sin and God incarnate standing before her, offering her a way of truth, a way back to the Father, and her eyes are open. And the disciples catch up with Jesus, and even they are astonished that Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. They have a lot to learn yet as well. But this woman goes off all excited. She is overflowing with joy. This is where worship begins. This is what worship is. This brings us to the key verse in the whole passage. When Jesus continued, he said, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Three key words: worship, spirit, truth. We've talked about truth before. Jesus is the fulfillment of truth. If we say that Jesus is God, and he is, then all creation is seen and is fulfilled in who Jesus is. God created all things. Jesus came to redeem the human race and to once again experience truth of who God is. He has revealed himself to us so that we can know the truth of our fallen nature, to know the need of redemption, and to walk in a life that is upright. Not because we're told to, but because we want to. And every ounce of our being cries out to do so. Why? Because the very Spirit of truth is alive within all who call on Jesus Christ and receive him into their hearts. He fills the void in us. He guides us and protects us. He comforts us. And once we grasp onto the fullness of this wonderful relationship that we have, it's hard to hold back the joy and the wonderment. We want to cry out and worship him. Worship is the giving of ourselves totally over to God. It is a response of what he has done for us in our relationship with him. It's done in prayer, which is our response to communicate with him. It's done in sacrifice, which is our response to give back to him so his work can be done. It's done in singing and outpouring of our gratitude to him. Some of you might be challenged like I am in singing, but it's not about a matter of being able to sing. It's a matter of pouring our heart out to God. The point here is our sacrifice is no longer a sacrifice for any atonement. Our sacrifice is an act of love of the Lord. In a few moments, you're going to hear these words during the great Thanksgiving as we prepare for communion together. Listen to this. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee. I even used right one so that you're in the moment. Do you know what that means, though? These aren't words we just say. They mean something. We give of ourselves to God to be glorified. He is glorified in our prayers. He's glorified in our giving. He is glorified in our praise. Whatever we do at home or in our employment, wherever we go, He is glorified. David expresses himself in many of the Psalms with wonderful words of praise. His heart was so overjoyed with the presence of God, he just couldn't contain it. Look at our psalm today. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout with the loud of the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. David loved to sing to the Lord with all of his heart. He poured every part of his being into God. David went shouting to the world his praises. This is the God who created you. This is the God who wants you to get to know him. This is the God who wants to pour out his spirit on every one of us. And guess what? He did just that. True worshipers will not worship just on a mountain like the Samaritans did, or in a temple like the Jews did. True worship will take place, Jesus said, in the heart. Like David, Paul also reminds us, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Not sprinkled, not a dash here and there of joy and praise, but poured into our hearts. And what is the result? We rejoice. We praise him. We give thanks to him. Again, worship is offering our total being to him. But listen to this. God hasn't changed. God still uses people, those who call on his name. He continues to pour out his spirit on the church. He continues to use us, and for that we give thanks and praise, because none of us deserve the gift and the opportunities he gives us. None of us are worthy of such a gift. But he stepped down out of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus revealed that truth to the woman at the well. She said, I know the Messiah is coming, the Christ. And Jesus said, one of the few places he ever says it, I am he. I am here so that you can have life. We come here today to give him thanks. We come here today to give him praise. The music we sing, whether traditional hymns or songs of praise, are not forms of entertainment. They are an outpouring of praise. The tithes that we bring to the church are not dues to be paid or an act of doing a good deed. Our tithes are a reflection of our love of God, who wants to offer the same opportunity you have experienced, and others through the ministries that we do can experience it as well. Because you see, there is more to this passage today. While the disciples were trying to get Jesus to eat something, he spoke to them about food of another kind. He spoke about the harvest of souls that were waiting. Actually, a town that was coming to him at that time. Because of one changed heart in that Samaritan woman, many came to believe. They too became hungry. They too came to seek out Jesus, and they believed. I want each of you to know that God, by his Spirit, has something wonderful for each of you. He wants to build something special in and through you. Let us reflect on what he has begun. Let us reflect that into the world around us. The time has come, and now is, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit that you have bestowed upon your church, the body of Christ. And Father, we thank you that you have given each of us a task to worship you and to be with you and to do your bidding in the world around you, around us. So Father, we ask that you would move by your spirit and allow us to be the ambassadors that you have called us to be in the world around us. Use us, Lord God, as you will. Speak to our hearts. Allow us to hear you, Lord God. May we put aside the sin and the other things that bog us down. May we get rid of that, Lord, and hear your voice. Speak to us, Lord, for your people are listening, and we thank you and give you praise and honor for all that you are doing. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.